Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Warning. Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks podcast. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. In fact, this is part two of a truly terrifying true crime case. But before we get started, as always, Olivia, my friend, my co-host, my Bruce Chin buddy, how are you? How you hanging in? Do I need to call anybody? Just want to check in. How are you doing?
I promise I'm safe. I'm safe. No, I just got a nice little shine around my chin. I took a softball to the jaw last night. Thankfully, I have all my teeth, no blood, just a cute little purple accessory on my chin.
Yeah, it does look like you have a little half a purple goatee.
And it's really sore, but overall, I'm okay. How are you?
Also,
it's been a long day for you.
It has been a long day. I've been in this this little home office 6x6 room for like 16 hours today, but it's been pretty good. Also, I'm really fighting the urge to make any jokes about balls and chins and stuff like that.
I just kind of enter foot and mouth, so it's fine.
Yeah, for sure. I just, I'm an adult. I don't need to make juvenile jokes, but no, I'm just glad you're okay. I know, sometimes you get hit like that. It can definitely, it rocks your stuff for sure.
Oh, I had tears. I just was so thankful all my teeth were in my mouth.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever told you, but I went water skiing, wakeboarding one time. And like nobody told me that when you fall, you're supposed to just let go of the rope. So every time I fell, I was like
face planting into the water.
And it would just yank out of my hands. And like I'd never been before. So I tried to get up like 55 times and just kept eating shit. Mm-hmm. And the next day, I could not close my hands because the rope, like the handle has just been ripped out. And I worked at a factory at the time, so I'm trying to like hold a hammer and hold a wrench, and I'm just completely useless.
Like I can't.
Yeah, so you could be doing something fun and silly and really mess yourself up. So I'm just glad you're all right.
Well, no one really asked at work today about my face. I was just kind of waiting for people to be like, are you okay? Are you safe? Do you need anything? And everybody was just kind of like, knew it was there, but nobody wanted to say anything. I'm like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Well, it's an awkward thing. Yeah. Like, I'm not making jokes about domestic violence. No, there's nothing not funny, all. But yes, I'm not sitting here making jokes. But what I will say is like, if you notice something like that, and even if it crosses your mind, it's like, well, how do I bring that up?
But like, I work at a psych facility. So those people are the people that are supposed to bring those things up.
That's true.
Not that I wanted to draw attention to it, but you know what I mean.
If you work at a psych facility, I mean, it could be, one of your patients or anything. You know, you are a nurse practitioner, but I had a friend that worked here in Nashville that, got into scuffles with patients like regularly because they'd come in all hopped up on something, not want to get in the bed. And next thing you know, like you're a, 5'6" or 5'4" woman or, 5 foot woman, and you're fighting the, 200-pound dude. So it get crazy. Yeah, I'm sure you have some more stories.
Just softball to the face. Nothing exciting this go around.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're okay. But yeah, everything's been okay. Just been working all day and then researching to get this part two done because I was really excited to get into it and break it down. And again, part one, is really heartbreaking on some level. So, if you haven't listened to part one of this episode, stop, go back, listen to part one, and then come back and hang out with us for part two. Also, I do want to make sure, because I know what kind of person you are, and I want to give you a disclaimer, because there is some definite talk about child abuse, which gets me every single time. But we're also going to touch on some animal abuse and some animal abuse that I think you're going to be like pretty shocked by.
That's my and children. So
I wanted to give you a heads up, because when we get there, I can already see what your face is going to look like. So
I had to call out a lady at work about talking about practicing stitching on cats. I said, excuse me, what did you just say? It's like, we're not going to have this conversation.
And we all have those things that are just triggering to us. So I want to make sure, you know, if one of those is overly triggering for you, I know some people, they just cannot, you know, handle it in movies or when we're, you know, talking about it on a podcast or something like that. So just want to make sure I'm putting that warning out, because I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable or get taken with anything by surprise, anything like that. So.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Well, of course, I always got to look out for you. But well, what do you say? I mean, we knocked out part one. Super anxious to get into part two. Should we just quit the Gabby Gabby, get to the Sabby Sabby, and go ahead and get on into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Arthur Gary Bishop was born in 1951 in the small town of Hinckley, Utah. At this time, it was a small desert town with fewer than 700 people calling it home. His parents were devout Mormons, and Bishop seemed to have a wholesome childhood. He was an honor student and an Eagle Scout, but he was socially awkward. And the kids at school would call him a geek, but his younger brother, Douglas, idolized him. After graduating from high school in 1969, Bishop did what many Mormon kids do. He packed his bags and headed to the Philippines to serve as a teenage missionary. After, he returned home and enrolled in business school, where he completed an accounting program with excellent grades. While everything seemed normal on the outside, there was something dark brewing inside of Arthur Gary Bishop. Unbeknownst to family and friends, he had developed an addiction to pornography, specifically child pornography. And with his new obsession came morbid thoughts and fantasies. Now, Bishop began working at a car dealership in July of 1977. During his employment, he would embezzle more than $8,000, which, if you look at $8,000, in 1977 versus today, we're talking over $40,000 in 2025. This would lead to his first arrest in February of 1978. Obviously, his friends and family were shocked, but Bishop, acting in the role of the good Mormon man, seemed to take responsibility. He pled guilty to the charge and received a 5-year suspended jail sentence in return for paying back the money. But when it came time to pony up the price, he fled. Now a fugitive, Bishop would spend the next several years living under assumed names, finding work where he could, and stealing when he wanted to. And he would eventually find himself in Salt Lake City, where he assumed the name Roger W. Downs. It was under this name that Bishop was able to join the Big Brother program, with nothing more than intentions to prey on vulnerable young boys. While enrolled in the program, at least two children had claimed that Bishop had molested them. However, he wasn't assigned as a mentor to either child, and the allegations were handed over to the local police, but no action was ever taken. Bishop would eventually be excommunicated from the Mormon Church in 1978, and by 1979, his dark desires were escalating. He was living in a Salt Lake City apartment complex at the time, the same complex where 4-year-old Alonzo Daniels had disappeared. 4 years later, Bishop was sitting with the police, and the truth about what happened to Alonzo Daniels and the other missing boys was about to be revealed. It was now 1983, and investigators were confronting Arthur Gary Bishop about the disappearances of the local children. Now, while looking into their suspect, police heard about a friend of Graham Cunningham's, a boy named Jeff. Jeff just happened to be the stepson of Bishop's alias, Roger Downs. So Bishop and Jeff were both brought in for questioning under the police's ruse when they noticed that Jeff was a little off. And when they spoke to the young man, the investigators' fears were confirmed. Bishop had been molesting his stepson for nearly his entire life. Bishop was confronted about the abuse, and he initially denied it. And that's when detectives decided to push, insisting that he was lying. And to their utter surprise, he offered a full confession, starting with Alonzo Daniels. Bishop told detectives that he had lured the child into his apartment with the promise of candy. And once inside the living room, he began to undress Alonzo, touching the boy inappropriately. But Alonzo began to cry, telling Bishop that he was going to tell his mother on him. And it was then that Bishop panicked, hitting the boy in the head with a hammer. But Alonzo just kept crying. So Bishop carried the boy into the bathroom, where he proceeded to drown him in the bathtub. Then he placed Alonzo's lifeless body inside a cardboard box and left his apartment, walking through the courtyard and past Alonzo's mother as she called out for her missing son. Bishop then placed the lifeless body in his trunk before driving 20 miles away from Salt Lake City, where he buried the child in the Utah desert. Now, Bishop told police that when he arrived home, there was a mix of emotions. He was scared that he would get caught, and he claimed that part of him felt disgusted by what he had done, but another part was excited. And he knew in that moment that he would kill again. But after getting away with murdering Alonzo Daniels, he knew it was risky. So he found a less dangerous way to feed his urges, adopting 15 to 20 puppies from the Salt Lake shelters around the area. In his confession, Bishop shared that the small dogs would whine, saying, just like Alonzo did. And when he would get frustrated with the sound, Bishop would hit them with the hammer, drown, or strangle them. And all the while, no one seemed to notice what he was doing. Now, at the same time, Bishop was still molesting children, and if they didn't threaten to tell, he claimed that he would let the victim live. But it wasn't enough. And that's when he found himself at the skating rink on November 8, 1980. It was there that he met 11-year-old Kim Peterson. Bishop told investigators that the pair talked about skates, and he had offered to buy Peterson's old pair for $35, a trick to get the child into his home, only several blocks away. The following day, Kim Peterson walked straight into Bishop's trap, and once inside, the 11-year-old was bludgeoned to death. Bishop then drove back to the desert and buried the body of Kim Peterson near the remains of Alonzo Daniels. So before I continue, Olivia, what are you thinking? Where's your head at?
I think you probably saw me just shaking my head and shaking my head and shaking my head. This is just disgusting. And I don't know why I've never heard of this case, because it's kind of gruesome and it seems like it would be one of the bigger known cases.
Yeah, I mean, he's been referred to as the devil of Utah. And I was thinking the same thing. I think we touched on it a little bit last week. But, you know, as we go through this, I was telling myself the same thing in the research. It was like, how do I not know this case? You know, and especially when we think about, you know, we grew up in that era where stranger danger became the big thing. Like, I don't know if you remember, like, you could go to Blockbuster and like get like your fingerprint card. And I had friends who would get videos made of them. So it was like, if you ever went missing, this is what you sound like. This is what you look like. These are your mannerisms. So it was like a tape. You could give it to the police, and like the parents could, you know, because there was just all these people in panel vans that were offering kids candy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every person out there wanted to kidnap a kid. And this is, I think, where that stuff comes from, is because, you know, there's a few people like this who are just absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sends the whole country into like a crazy panic, you know.
All I can say right now is that I really hope that this case turns out to really have justice served. Because, first he's killing children, molesting children, his own stepson, number one. How is he getting so involved? I mean, it's 1978. I know how it's happening, but you know, nowadays that would never fly at big brothers, big sisters, you know, and you can't just go under an alias and then mentor young boys. Like, that would never happen nowadays. But
it does seem like in like the 70s, you could basically just be like, oh, I'm a whole different person. And nobody asked any questions. Or maybe it was easier just to get like false identification, you know, because now we have like the real IDs and the holograms and all that stuff. It's just crazy to think that, you know, poor Alonzo Davis is just playing in the courtyard in his apartment complex and, you know, this monster lures him in and then you know, I can't get caught, so I have to kill him. And then to think that taking a child's life would give you a rush that you would want to chase after, to the point where you're buying puppies with the sole purpose. I mean, 15 to 20 puppies in a year. So, like, that's how many animal shelters are you going to? I mean, in.
Yeah. And how are they not? I mean, it's 1978. That's how they're not picking up on him. But, oh, like, that's a lot of puppies. And then just to be like, oh, I can't kill kids all the time. I'm going to kill puppies. Like,
yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. It's obvious that there's something very, very, very dark.
Very wrong. Very, very wrong.
And I think as we go through the rest of the story, I think that feeling is just going to amplify for you, because I can tell you it doesn't get any better. You know what I mean? It's not like he's like, oh, I realize the error in my ways.
I'm sitting at a very high level of disgust.
Yeah. And the fact that, you know, he was so willing to just be like, you're right, I'm lying. Let me tell you everything that I've done. I was like, oh, that's crazy sauce to just be like.
Probably had no idea what they were about to unfold.
No. And it's like very obvious that like he wanted to tell somebody. He wanted people to know what he had done. So it's really the other thing. And I couldn't find the answer in the research, but you know, this Jeff kid is referred to as the stepson, but he kept bringing people back to, or bringing these children back to his apartment. And so I don't know if, you know, he had been with somebody and like this was his stepson, but like the relationship was no longer going on or anything like that. But I just, you know, wanted to speak on that a little bit because it was very vague in the research, but it was just, you know, his stepson, but it doesn't talk about him being like remarried or any kind of relationship or anything like that. So
time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll just have to see, but I think we should just keep going.
All right, let's do it. Let's hop back into it. Taking another child's life only fueled Bishop's urge to kill. But this time, he would fight the urge for less than a year. And October 20th, 1981, he would give in again. That is when he saw 4-year-old Danny Davis standing at the grocery store gumball machine. Bishop bent down and offered the boy candy, but the child said no. Feeling defeated, Bishop turned to walk away. However, when he looked back, he noticed the small child following behind him. So Bishop proceeded to lead the boy to the parking lot alone before abducting the child and taking him back to his apartment, only a half block away from the grocery store. Once inside, Bishop proceeded to sexually assault Danny. Then he covered the child's nose and mouth, smothering him to death. When it was over, Bishop made another drive to the desert, burying Danny Davis near the remains of Alonzo Daniels and Kim Peterson in Bishop's private little graveyard. While searching for the missing boy, police came knocking on Bishop's door, but the questions and answers were routine, and the police didn't sense anything sketchy, not knowing that they had their killer standing right in front of them. Again, Bishop could fight the urge for a while, but by June 23, 1983, he was consumed by his dark drive again, abducting Troy Ward from the park and bringing him back to his apartment. Bishop followed the same sadistic ritual. He told police that he had considered letting Troy go, but near the end of the assault, the 6-year-old threatened to tell, and Bishop would resort to using the hammer and the bathtub. This time, he took the remains east and buried Troy's body near Big Cottonwood Creek in the Twin Peaks Wilderness area. Again, the thrill continued to grow, and Arthur Gary Bishop would begin to escalate. This time, it was less than a month before he would target Graham Cunningham. Now, according to court records, the teenager was bludgeoned to death before being buried near Troy Ward. Bishop failed to give any substantial motive, again claiming that he had only killed the victims he thought would report him. And with that, the confession was complete. He would later share that he was glad to have been caught, knowing that he would have continued had he not been. Police would search Bishop's home, and inside they found a .38 caliber revolver, a bloodstained mallet and hammer, and dozens of photos of nude boys, most framed with their heads cropped out, making it nearly impossible to identify the victims in the pictures. Arthur Gary Bishop was charged with 5 counts of capital murder, 5 counts of kidnapping, 2 counts of forcible sexual assault, and 1 count of sexually abusing a minor. If the district attorney could prove their case, Bishop would be facing the death penalty. In a strange twist, while awaiting trial, Bishop learned that his younger brother, Douglas, the boy who had idolized him as a child, had been arrested for abusing young boys in Provo, Utah. So the apple didn't fall far from the tree. Now, Bishop's trial would last for only 6 weeks, during which his defense team would argue that pornography had warped his mind, and they pushed to drop the murder charges to manslaughter. But during the trial, the state would play the confession for the jury, and they would hear Bishop imitating a child's voice begging not to be hurt in a high pitch. And with that, his fate was sealed. Arthur Gary Bishop was sentenced to death, and he was given a choice: by firing squad or by lethal injection. Bishop chose to take the needle, and he was executed on June 10th, 1988. So, Olivia, that's this week's case. What are you thinking? Where's your head at?
This case is a lot, John, and you kind of were threatening to do a 3-part, so I'm glad you finished and I didn't have to wait any longer to find the end of this. But this guy, he's just so dark. I don't know the right word. I'm glad he's caught. He died. He did all this and died before I was even born.
Yeah.
But he's awful. He's a terrible, terrible human.
Yeah. And in the research, I found that before he was executed, he supposedly like found God and, you know, was very repentful. And, you know, that's great. Good for you. I'm glad that, you know, you found some way to like make yourself feel better. But like that kind
You're
of stuff.
You're still a terrible, 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 terrible person.
Right. You're still a monster. And, you know, the other thing I think that really bothered me was they tried to argue the charges down to manslaughter, blaming pornography. Like, if we're going to be real, right, we're both adults. Like, people watch porn. You know what I mean? There are plenty of people out there who watch porn and have proclivities and who are into, you know, what other people might think is weird. Whatever your kink is, like, no kink shaming, do your thing, right? But I know lots of people who look at adult material and are not like, oh, I'm attracted to kids and now I'm going to murder kids. You know what I mean? Like, it's a straw man argument at best. It just made me angry to be like, oh, I'm going to blame it on porn.
Yeah, and then manslaughter. Like, manslaughter is basically like an accident.
Right.
And trying to prove a point and use you as a lesson. But, like, that's in my mind what manslaughter is. Because, like, on my trial that I sat in, that's what they were trying to do. Go from second-degree murder to manslaughter. And I'm like, that's like an accident.
Yeah. You know, I think there's been, there was a Hollywood director. I forget his name, but I know that he has done a lot of stuff with, like, Quentin Tarantino. But he was driving home from a birthday party with his wife in the car and then a friend and his wife in the back seat. And in the way that he tells it, he was running late because they had told the babysitter she could leave by a certain time. So he was going like well over the speed limit when he lost control of the car and hit a telephone pole. And his wife was ejected from the car and his friend and I believe the wife, all like they were ejected and they died. So he was looking at like straight up murder charges and then was eventually charged and convicted with manslaughter. Right. Because it wasn't like he was being reckless, but it wasn't anything that was intentional. He didn't set out to like kill anybody. Right. You know,
it's an accident.
Right.
And where tragedy happens.
Where this is very much not only like am I setting out to kill someone, I'm killing animals in place of, and I'm, you know, fighting the urge to go out and find another victim. You know, like if you're hanging out in a park or hanging out at a skating rink filled with kids, and you're this kind of, you're there for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't know. It just made me angry to be like, oh no, it was the porn. Cause I guess there's an interview where he's like, you know, I started watching porn and it was like somebody lit the fuse on the dynamite, but it's just a ridiculous argument. You know? So that was what going through my head as I was researching the trial.
Yeah. I agree 100% with that. Like you're a monster. I think personally what he deserved. And I'm just glad that these families were able to get some closure on their missing children. And, you know, I hope able to like move on from that. But this one was a lot.
I know the police were really frustrated too, because after he was arrested and it was announced, they were getting hundreds of phone calls being like, I think this guy molested my kid too. And you have to remember, like, these went from like 1977 to 1983 before he was caught. So the police are like, well, where the hell were you like 3 years ago? You know, like maybe we could have saved these other kids' lives, but.
Right. And what other kids in any other states could be missing, you know?
Yeah. I also thought it was really interesting too, that his brother would be arrested for similar crimes.
Yeah.
Which, you know, from all accounts, it sounds like he had a pretty, you know,
normal upbringing.
But I wonder if I wonder if maybe there was something going on. Or you know, especially, yeah, because, you know, back then, like something like that could be happening and it just was, you didn't talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I have family members that were like, yeah, like I had people do inappropriate things to me. And, you know, I tried to tell people, and when I did, they were like, you're lying. Talk about that person that way. It was just, you know, and
you're again, mistaken.
And this would have been the 70s as well, you know? So it's, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's just heartbreaking and you feel for the kids and their families. And just the fact that the police talked to this guy so many times throughout the investigation, and it took 5 kids being kidnapped and murdered before they were like, hey, that guy looks familiar. You know what I mean? It's just, it sucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm ready to jump to the deadbolt test.
Well, let's do it. Where are you putting it?
A 10. This is a 10 for me.
Oh, 100%. I'm not even gonna, like, I'm right there with you.
There's no rhyme or reason to it. I mean, it's just a 10. There is rhyme. There is reason. He's terrible. And this was disgusting. And he did terrible things to children, terrible things to animals. And Bishop is not a bishop.
Yeah. Like, again, it's one of those things where, you know, when we started this podcast, I was somebody who, like, and still am, like, from a moral standpoint, from a financial responsibility standpoint, you know, my moral and logic brain is like, you know, the death penalty isn't something that we should have. It costs more money to kill someone than it does to keep them alive. It, you know, the whole eye for an eye thing, the biblical justice doesn't really like ring out there for me. But when we do something like this, there is a part of me that's like,
I mean, they weren't wrong.
Yeah. Like, you know,
we don't encourage it, but they weren't wrong.
Yeah. It's, again, I don't want to condone it. I want to be like, yeah, good, you know, good for that state for doing it. But, you know, there's a part of me that's just like, well, it's the same way, you know, when we did that case where the father had his son kidnapped, and when they arrested the guy and brought him back, he shot him in the head in the airport on TV, right? Like, I don't condone murdering anybody, but also, like, I would have done the same thing, you know? You know, so. So yeah, I'm definitely with you. I'm going to put this at a 10. But for our listeners, our locksmiths, we want to hear from you. Where does Salt Lake's missing boys fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what the heck are you doing? Come hang out with us. We'd love to get the opportunity to spend some time with you. We've been going strong for 3 years. Olivia's officially back in the Facebook group, posting meme game. Strong.
So. You're welcome.
So, come hang out with us. We'd love to get the opportunity to spend some time with you. If you are interested in joining, there is a link in the description of the episode that you're listening to right now. And Olivia, you know we love reviews. It's one of our favorite things to read on the podcast, to talk about. They help us out a lot. So if somebody wants to leave us a 5-star review, what is the best way to do that?
They need to go to the Apple Podcast app, go to our show's homepage, scroll all the way down where you see all 5 of those stars, click them, light them up, whatever color it is on your screen, not always purple, and let us know what you think about Check the Locks.
Yeah, Olivia always says it best, so I don't have to. It's Apple Podcasts. Click those stars. Let us know what you think. Those reviews, they really do help us out so much. They get us into other shows' recommendations, you know, help new listeners find the show. And really, you know, we've been doing this for 3 years. We're hoping to do it, you know, many years to come. And we just want to get as many people into our community as possible. So if you have left us a review, just know that we appreciate you so much. If you have not, you know, take the time. Click that link. There's a link in the description of the episode you're listening to now. It really would help us out a whole heck of a lot. And also, don't forget, if you listen on Spotify, you can actually leave Spotify comments as well on any particular episode. So if you have any feedback or if there's one you like particularly, we would love to hear from you. And speaking of Spotify comments, if you listen to Monday's episode, you may recall that Olivia and I got a Spotify comment referring to one of our very first episodes. So Olivia, I actually went back and looked at this.
You said this is the fifth episode, right?
The fifth episode from 2022.
Ooh, that seems like a lifetime ago.
Yes. And the quote that was left in the episode was, I think I'm the right size and build to fight someone's stepmom. And we both thought it would be you, right?
Yeah.
So Olivia and I just went back and listened to it, and we were both wrong. It definitely was me. And I pulled up the transcript so I can read it verbatim. So I said, I think I could definitely take my stepmom in a fight. I would mess her up if we ever had to do that. And then Olivia told me, Olivia said, I think you're the right size to bury a small grave. And then I said, yes, I'm the right size and build to fight someone's stepmom. So apparently, if you're a stepmom out there and you got some trash to talk, watch out. I'm coming for you.
John's coming for you. It wasn't me. It was him.
So, yeah, I just was like, I, for the life of me, cannot remember. And I know we laughed a lot in that episode, just going back and listening to some of it, which is crazy to be like, yeah, it's a true crime episode. We're talking about somebody who died. We were just laughing a lot.
But we got to.
Yeah.
It's just like what we do in medicine. You got to laugh.
A lot of funny stuff in there. So thank you so much for leaving that Spotify comment and taking us down memory lane. And again, we'd love to hear from you, and I would love to fight your stepmom. So have her join the Facebook group.
He's for hire.
Square up. If you got a problem with your stepmom, let me know.
Call John Connor.
I've actually got two of them, so I've got a lot of practice. I just left and right, they're coming at me. Thank you again for leaving that. We would love to hear from you as well. So again, leave those reviews, leave those Spotify comments. They mean the world to us, and apparently we have a lot of fun going back and listening to them. And if you want to support what we do, you like the show, you want to help out, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks. You can get signed up today. Got a lot of exclusive benefits, stickers, coffee mugs. Plus, you get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So if you want to help us keep the lights on, that's patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, hanging out with us, sharing what we do with your friends and family, the people who are important to you, means just as much, if not more. So if that's you, you're listening, you're telling people to check out the show, you're sending those links, hey, have you heard of Check the Locks? Just know we appreciate that more than we could ever tell you. Again, it's all about that grassroots growth and bringing more members into our community and into the Check the Locks family. And if you are helping to do that in any way, just know that we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. That's all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure to subscribe to Check the Locks in your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying true crime case. But until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.